This month in Life Stories, I'll be talking to three women who describe a tipping point in their lives. First of all, we'll meet Nancy Fina, the amazing fashion, glamour, and portrait photographer. After a childhood traveling the world as a feisty ambassador's daughter, she ended up back in the States. As she was finishing her second degree, this time in photography, she decided again that she was on the wrong track. She didn't want to become a war photographer.
You know, the war photographers, I'm like, I'm kind of a chicken. I don't want to get shot at.
So that was totally out of the question. Neither did she want to be a nature photographer.
Then the ones, you know, the nature photographers that they go into this total trance and get up at 3 a.m. and stand in a stream of freezing water meditating. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't like freezing water. I don't know how to meditate. So
yeah.
I was really scared.
3 o'clock in the morning is usually the time I get home.
Exactly. Now you've got me. Exactly. In fact, when I went to university in France, they used to call me the girl that comes home with the garbage trucks because I would catch a ride on the back sometimes. But anyway.
Anyway, this was actually a crisis moment in her life.
This is going to be a really big trouble, telling my dad that now degree number 2, it's not right. And I was already thinking, maybe I could do philosophy. That would be kind of fun.
And then, on her very last day at university, she was approached out of the blue by a girl who came into the darkroom.
A girl came to the darkroom in the school and she asked me, would you take a picture of me? I want to be a model. I said, I don't know how to do that.
And she was right. That was something she'd never done. So she insisted.
I don't know how to do that. I never even looked in a fashion magazine. She goes, I don't care. I don't have any money. I just want you to do it. I said, well, I don't know how to do it, so I can't do it.
Now, most people would just give up, especially when someone like Nancy was saying, no way. But this time, she'd obviously met her match.
She just begged me, so I thought, oh, what the hell?
You're kidding.
So I went out and I took her picture. I gave her the film. I graduated the next day. I was home the first day of the rest of my life in bed going, now what am I gonna do? And the phone rang. And this woman says, darling, I've discovered you.
Well, that doesn't happen every day. So what did Nancy reply?
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And she said,
come down here. I want to meet you.
Who was this mysterious caller exactly?
So she had the biggest modeling agency in Boston.
Not bad.
And so she said, how did you take those pictures? How did you know how to do that? How did you? I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? I just took the picture. I don't know.
She didn't know what she'd done that impressed this agency owner or how she'd done it. But once again, she'd met someone who knew exactly what she wanted.
She said, okay, I'm going to give you a summer job. I'm going to pay you $300. I mean, this was more than 30 years ago. $300, a girl. I'll dress her up and put makeup on her. You just take her out, do whatever you want, because you're on it.
Her reaction?
And I was like, $300, a girl? How long does it take to do that? She said, well, you could do 2-3 girls a day. I was like, hell. This beats waitressing. So I would pack those girls in my car and just drive around. Oh, let's go to the beach. Let's go to the country. Let's do pictures at night. Let's whatever. I would just take their pictures. It was like such a no-brainer. And it was so fun and easy.
The rest, as they say, is history. Have a look at Nancy's website, Nancy Fina, that's FINA.com. It's an explosion of color and energy and ideas, a real feast for the eyes. And listen to her fascinating life story right here. The following week, we'll hear from Christina Gabetti. She spent the first chunk of her career as a music journalist interviewing the stars. Her first interview, she recalls, was with Miles Davis. And she got that through sheer determination after Miles had walked out of a press conference in a huff. As the journalists were shuffling out of the conference room, she approached the record company's PR man and asked if she could still do the private interview she'd been scheduled for.
And this man said, you know what? It's up to you. I'll give you his suite number. You can try it out. I'm not going to go remind him that he has an appointment with you.
So she got her film crew together and up they went. His suite was protected by a first door, manned by the obligatory beefy bouncer. So the first door was to keep people like you out.
The first door, exactly. The first door was on the corridor. But as I knock, and this big guy opens. Miles opens his door, and the lucky thing is that Miles' door was directly in front. So he saw me, and he said, let her in.
So they went in and set their cameras up.
Finally, Miles arrives. We hit the lights, turn them on. For the first question, the power goes out.
No!
Oh, no! God, this is going to be a nightmare. So anyway, we ended up having a fantastic conversation.
And what did they talk about? Music? Well, just a bit. But more about the fact that...
he loved fast cars, and he loved a zippy life, and he loved beautiful women. He loved his fame and his achievements.
And she leaves the interview with a drawing. How come?
He's also an artist, and he shows me his book, and I say, oh, that's such a nice drawing, and it's a very simple but voluptuous silhouette. He pulls it out, you know, tears it out, and he writes, from the best to the best.
Oh,
Miles.
I hope that's
so
framed somewhere.
That's framed in my living room.
Of course it is.
The very sad circumstance is that this and the many, many dozens of other fabulous interviews that I was very fortunate to have no longer exist in the archives of the television company that I was working for.
To make space for new material on the storeroom shelves. What a classic example of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. However...
you know, I was always given a time slot, and I was always fortunate to engage, you know, Mick Jagger and Sting and Tina Turner and Annie Lennox and Peter Gabriel and Bruce Springsteen and... you name them, a long list of people in conversations that they enjoyed.
They were in the right place at the right time.
And we can hear Christina's account of some of these interviews, plus what happened before and after in her life, in the episode dedicated to her inspirational life story. And last but by no means least this month, we can listen in to Sally Lethbridge, who in her 20s as an airline hostess chatted up a passenger who she thought looked quite dishy and ended up, you've guessed it, marrying him.
Well, in 2001,
right,
I met Davide.
Right, okay.
I was a flight attendant for Virgin Blue, which is one of the second largest airline in Australia.
Oh, right.
After Qantas.
Uh-huh.
And Davide was a passenger on board.
No, you're joking.
Yes.
Ah, this is a story of true love.
Yeah, and I picked him up.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was sitting in seat 17A.
Right.
And we just got talking because he didn't have anybody sitting next to him on the plane.
That was lucky.
Yeah, and it was a 2-hour flight from Brisbane to Sydney.
Right.
And we got it talking, and then...
how does an air hostess talk to a passenger? I mean, obviously you can...
well, we were encouraged to be a little bit provocative.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was the very early days of Virgin Blue, and they were trying to promote it as being...
provocative?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like...
no, no,
in a
no.
bad way, but just no. to talk to everybody and just to be extra friendly, no?
Sure, sure.
So
sure.
I used this to my advantage, seeing as he was very cute. And yeah, we had a dinner together, and then whenever I'd go to Melbourne, we'd catch up, and then after about a year, I moved over here.
Okay, so that's very straightforward anyway.
Yeah, I think it's like most of the expats over here. It's mostly people move over here
for
love.
Relationships, for love.
Yeah.
If you have a life story you'd like to share, please get in touch. Just email me at daniel@danielrichards.tv. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.